In this section, the Pope speaks about the need to create more opportunities and a more incisive female presence in the church. Could you comment on that?
Yes. In fact, in this section, he talks about the indispensable contribution which women make to society through the sensitivity, intuition, and other distinctive skill sets which they, he says, more than men tend to possess. And here, the Holy Father is emphasizing the complementarity, you know, the difference between men and women, and this is extremely important. And what he's saying, basically, is similarly to what Blessed John Paul II said already 25 years ago in Mulieris Dignitatem, that women have a unique contribution, an important contribution to make, and women have a different way of looking at things. And so the more that women are involved, the more that it becomes normative that women are involved in decision-making processes, the better things will be in the church and in society. So my hope would be that it would become normative that women would be consulted, that women would be involved, and that their gifts would be put at the service of the church. It's not about power, it's about service. And this is a point that Pope Francis has made over and over again. How can the church be served? How can society be better served? I think the way that society and the church can be better served is if it becomes normative that women and men use their gifts for the upbuilding of the church and for bringing the gospel to society.
Speaking of the relationship between power and service, the Pope addresses this somewhat when he speaks about the ordination of women. Could you comment on that section of the exhortation?
Yes. First of all, he states something that's been stated a number of times, namely that the reservation of the priesthood to males as a sign of Christ and spouse who gives himself in the Eucharist is not a question open to discussion. But he also makes a very important point, and that is that sacramental priesthood is not about power. It's about service. And even early on in the apostolic exhortation, when he talks about lay people, he says, lay people are the vast majority of the people of God. And he says the minority ordained ministers are at their service. So here, I think, you know, he makes a very important point about, you know, priesthood is not about power. It's about service. He emphasizes that by saying in the church, functions do not favor the superiority of some vis-a-vis the others. So function does not mean superiority. And he points out that indeed a woman, Mary, is more important than the bishops. So I think he makes a very important distinction here that can really help us to reflect on, you know, first of all, what is the priesthood? What does it mean to be a priest? And he emphasizes it's about service. Now, it's in this context that he brings up the whole question of, well, how can women be of service in the church? And what he's saying is something that's very important, that women do not have to be priests to be of service in the church. And we need to find creative ways to allow women to exercise their legitimate rights that's based on their equality in dignity, the equality between women and men. So we just need to find creative ways for that to happen. And he says himself that, you know, this whole discussion presents a great challenge for pastors and theologians who, he says, are in a position to recognize more fully what this entails with regard to the possible role of women in decision-making in different areas of church life. So again, the big challenge is to find creative ways for women to be involved. And I was trying to think of some possibilities. For example, you have many professional women with backgrounds in business and in management. They could bring incredible resources to the church if they were allowed to be more involved. Also, I wonder, in the whole area of the diplomatic service of the church, does that have to be limited to the ordained? I think of some of the incredible women ambassadors that we have, female ambassadors to the Holy See. Of course, they're representing their country, but they do it in such an efficient and such an intelligent way. And one asks, well, couldn't women be involved also in this area of church life? Another thing we see is in various pontifical councils, for example, the Council of the Laity, of Family, Justice, and Peace. We have a number of lay people, even some couples, involved as consultant for these various councils. And one would ask, and I don't have details at all, but is it normative that lay people are consultors for other councils and congregations, for example, bishops, Catholic education, the doctrine of the faith, liturgy? Are lay people involved? I think these are questions that our church leaders need to ask. And if we take the words of Pope Francis seriously and try to put into practice what he says, these are the sort of questions that need to be asked on the level of church service in the Vatican. But also, again, moving to parish councils, dioceses. You know, there are a number of women chancellors in dioceses. This is fantastic. But are there other ways that women can be involved at the service of the church?
Would you have any final thoughts you'd like to add?
Well, all I would say is this, that I am delighted to read this apostolic exhortation. It is truly a joy to read it. I'm having a hard time putting it down because I just find it very rich. I think it's a document that is going to have a big impact on the church, all of us in the church, bishop, clergy, consecrated persons, and the lay faithful. And I look forward to spending the coming days reading it and trying to digest it, and above all, trying to put into practice what the Holy Father has suggested to us about sharing the gospel with great joy to those around us.